what's up, everybody? This is Josh Turner, and you are listening to the Called Podcast.
This is Called, equipping church leaders for ministry and life.
Hey, well, I know in episode one, we kind of talked about how this season was going to have some different types of episodes, whether it was just the interview or, you know, a panel or whatever the case may be. And episode two is going to already be one of those different episodes, because what we're going to talk about today is actually the importance of children's ministry. Now, I know that as I say the importance of children's ministry, there's probably some of you in here that you're going to check out, you're going to tune out, you're thinking, this doesn't apply to me. I'm a 22-year-old guy that's running a middle school ministry or a college ministry or whatever the case may be. But here's one of the things that we have to understand. If we are looking to the future of the church and what the church is going to be, we have to understand the importance of reaching kids at an early age. One of a recent study by the Ministry to Children found that 43% of Christians came to faith before the age of 12. And so whether you're a college pastor or a college leader or even an adult pastor, man, you have to understand the importance of children's ministry when studies show that 43% of people who come to know Jesus Christ are doing it before the age of 12. Another study by the National Association of Evangelicals found that 63% of Christians accepted Jesus Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. This has led to the idea of the 4-14 window that is critical in evangelism. And so I know that as I talk about kids, sometimes what we want to do is think that the kids are just relegated to the kids ministry or the children's ministry, wherever the case may be. But we have to understand as a church and as a body of believers, all of us together, the importance of what it is of building children's ministries in a way that are not only safe and fun for kids, but also building children's ministries in a way that enable them to come to know Jesus Christ. And so what we've done for you here at Called and at One Hope and at Relevant and everybody that's a part of this podcast is we went out and found, she's going to hate that I say this, she's kind of known right now as the godmother of kids and children's ministry. She's Beth Cunningham. She is from Church of the Highlands. Beth is one of the most incredible, I'm just saying, women of God out there, has one of the best spirits that you've ever met with somebody. And Beth, one of the things that's so interesting, you know, Church of the Highlands, I think they had like 60,000 people last week at church. And I know that when I say that, sometimes what happens is for those of us that are not at those big of churches or we are smaller churches, we think, okay, well, that only works in the mega church culture. But I think what you're going to be interested in with this interview with Beth is Beth talks about very specifically how their children's ministries are not developed off of their main campus, which is their largest location, that their children's ministry ideas are actually developed off of their smaller campuses, because if it works at smaller campuses, it will also work at bigger campuses. And so I just want to encourage you, no matter what your role is in leadership, no matter what your role is in the church, no matter how big or how small your church is, I believe that everybody can learn something from this interview with Beth Cunningham. So tune in, and I hope you like it. Well, hey, everybody, I am joined by none other than one of the best kids pastors, I believe, in all of America, and probably one of the nicest humans that I've ever met, Miss Beth Cunningham from Church of the Highlands. Beth, how are you doing?
So great, my friend. It's so good to talk to you. Always love any conversation I get to have with Josh Turner.
Well, we love you. And so here's, you know, for everybody listening, a lot of people, you know, probably know of Church of the Highlands, probably read some of Pastor Chris's books. But for everybody that doesn't, you know, really know about Church of the Highlands or the kids ministry there, can you kind of give an overview of Church of the Highlands and the campuses and all that and what that looks like?
Absolutely, yes. So we are coming up on 19 years old. First Sunday in February, we'll be celebrating an anniversary, and God obviously is done a miracle here and in the great state of Alabama. We are so thankful. We always say, you know, it's definitely His grace, but we are now at 22 campuses. So we're a multi-site church and doing church in portable and permanent settings all over the state of Alabama and now in Columbus, Georgia. And, you know, in Highlands Kids, we're just, you know, honestly so blessed. When we say Highlands Kids, we're really describing four distinct areas of ministry. That would be obviously our ministry to the elementary child, nursery, preschool, all special needs ministry falls underneath the umbrella of Highlands Kids. And then, of course, our check-in teams that do such a great job of, you know, greeting and hosting our families. And yeah, it's really exciting to do church in multiple locations and in different contexts and different communities, and yet try to maintain a standard of excellence that we know parents are looking for, you know, when they trust you with their child. So it's exciting and challenging and just a miracle to be a part of.
Well, and I think it's important what you just said, talking about the campuses. You know, one of the things that we try to shy away from or think differently of. I know, like, I've talked to some people about this podcast and they'll say things like, oh, well, it has a mega church focus, or you guys are just focused on the big church. But I think what's unique with Highlands is, yes, y'all have like the Grants Mill location that's just, you know,
sure,
a behemoth that you're launching space shuttles out of every weekend. But then y'all have, like, you know, your startup campuses and your smaller campuses that are in some of the smaller cities. And so when you guys think of kids ministry, of Highlands Kids, how have you created it where it kind of is able to scale across, whether it's Grant Mills? And how many kids would you say that you guys have come in to Grants Mill on a weekend?
Right. So, you know, Grants Mill at our broadcast location, we'll see 14, 15, 1600 children. But then at a smaller campus, I could see 100 kids on a weekend. So we have to scale the ministry. You know, our philosophy is we want parents to have and children to have the same experience in every location. So we don't think of what can we do at the broadcast location. We think of what can we do everywhere. And honestly, if we can't do it everywhere, for us in kids ministry, we don't do it at all. You know, it's really, honestly, it's the portable campus in the smaller location that is driving so much of the ministry philosophy and perspective of Highlands Kids. I think that's what we've seen translate across America to churches who do kind of follow the HK model with Grow and different resources, is that it is scalable. And we believe that excellence is not necessarily about how much money you spend or the kind of art on the wall. It's really about being intentional with the tools and resources God's given you, and with that hour and 15 minutes you have, you know, because we've got an hour and 15 minutes, let's mm-hmm. make the most of it.
So what does that look like for y'all? Like, as an overview of your children's ministry, because I love what you said, like, I think this is a very, very unique thing, because I believe, and I may be wrong in this, but I would believe that most churches that have a broadcast location, that broadcast location or that kid's ministry or that student ministry or that men's, it's setting the pace for all of the other locations. And really, I think one of the neat things about Highlands and cool things I know that Pastor Chris has created with Grow and all this as well is actually what you just said, that sometimes for you guys, it's the mobile campuses with the smaller amount of kids that are actually setting the pace for what you guys are doing some at Grants Mill. So what does an average, like, let's say I'm a parent, which I am a parent, I bring my kids in, I drop them off, what can they expect, whether it's a mobile location or it's at the Grants Mill location?
Absolutely. I think, you know, philosophically, we're trying to guarantee our parents, you know, we don't make it about the building. So I think, you know, excellence creates comfort. And so we want to take whatever space that we are, you know, in, whether it's a 80-year-old school or a brand new building we built. And we're looking for certain consistency that we can create with signage and things like that. But we know at the end of the day, we think there are five things that parents are looking for. Can I share these, Josh, that
yeah,
we think
no,
are like philosophical
it, please.
Things that we believe we can deliver in any environment? And the first thing is we want to guarantee parents that their children are going to have an engaging experience in praise and worship. For us, it doesn't matter if I'm in a portable school or a brand new building, and we can deliver.
Now, what does praise and worship look like for you guys, for your students?
Yeah, for us. Right. For us, in elementary, for instance, our kids are in a 15-minute set list. I mean, we are doing three three songs in preschool were doing to you, we tend to trend away from kid music in elementary. It's much more like Hillsong, Young and Free, things that parents are engaging in. And what we're doing, people ask all the time, are you using live bands or do you have live vocalists? No, I can't do that well in all these locations, but we can have a dynamic worship team that's passionate and leading kids, and they practice and they engage them with lyric videos. But the point is, what we know we want to accomplish on a Sunday is that children experience the presence of God. And again, that's not about facility. It's not about art on the wall. It's not even about the kind of toys you have. It's about creating an environment of worship. The second thing we know parents are desperate for, and we know this is true regardless of even seeker parents who are coming to a church, they are desperate for their children to make friends. There is a relational crisis right now with American children. They are struggling in building, you know, emotional intelligence skills, struggling in building quality relationships. And the church, I believe the Big C Church, has a tremendous opportunity to step into that space and say, hey, mom and dad, we're going to be a safe place for your child to learn how to build friendships, make friendships. And I believe this is even going to be a tool in evangelism in the future. The fact that parents can bring their child into a church and they can see that their child has a strategic opportunity to make age-appropriate friends. And we know that's why we hang our hat on small groups. Honestly, for us in elementary a year ago, we got rid of the traditional elementary style service and converted our whole elementary experience to a small group driven experience. And it has been phenomenal because this value we see to help children build friendships is huge. Third thing, we want children to memorize God's word. You know, 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And we've got to be not only, you know, teaching the Bible, we've got to be training them to hide that word in their heart. Another thing we think parents are looking for, and this is, we learned this from some focus groups that we did at Highlands about a year and a half ago, is they actually want to plan. They want to see age-specific learning. You know, they want to know that if I bring my child to this church over the next 3 years, this is what they're going to learn. And our parents have responded really well to that.
So what are you guys, and you and I have been in some roundtables together and stuff, and you know, we, this podcast is from One Hope and Relevant and all that, but what curriculum are you guys are using, or what's the process that you guys are using to show parents, like, hey, this is the progression that we're going to take your kids through?
Absolutely. So for us, we have been super blessed to be on a curriculum journey here at Highlands Kids for the last several years. And so about a year and a half ago, we sat down with our kids creative team and we actually mapped out a 6-year scope and sequence that we created in-house for our church. And all of that is available at growleader.com for churches to use. But we really ask ourselves the question, you know, how are we going to present the Bible to children? And what we did was we published what we call the Highlands Kids Learning Guide for Parents. Again, that's available at growleader.com as well, that kind of takes them on 3 years of that journey where they can literally see right now we are in a block on wisdom and the children are learning about wisdom. You know, they can see that in February, we're going to relationships. And these are the Bible stories we're using, you know, to teach their children these skills. So we're still taking a topical approach. But what our parents are saying to us is we love that we know the plan. It empowers them to feel like they can partner with us to have significant conversations. And that has been a big win for us. And honestly, in addition to having a good plan, whether you're using Orange, or there's a lot of great content out there. We use in preschool, we use the Bible app for kids, obviously a partnership with Life Church and One Hope that is brilliant. But, you know, the final thing parents are saying to us is that I need other adults speaking into my child's life. And, you know, parents are realizing that the significance of the small group leader or that mentor style relationship and happening in church on a Sunday, that consistent small group leader, parents are going to come, they're going to be a part of a church when they know that their child is being well loved, that someone knows their name. I mean, study after study will tell you, mom and dad may not love church at all. They may not even like the preaching or anything about it, but if they think their child is loved and they think their child is learning and growing, they will show up. So 100%. I think, you know, as kids ministries across America, we have to recognize the great opportunity and responsibility we have to create these environments where church is a safe place and children are growing and thriving. And again, parents want those additional voices speaking into their child's life.
So let me ask you one of the things too, I think you, that's so important for people listening to understand, especially, you know, pastors and kids pastors that are planting churches or that are on kids ministry teams, is it doesn't take a ton of money to do this sort of stuff that you guys are doing. There's just, I love what you said. I've never heard this before. And now I'm going to say it all the time as like I came up with it, but like, I'm gonna be like, you know, guys, as I always say, excellent creates comfort. Like that is
right. I'm pretty sure I stole that from Pastor Chris, but it
that's
does.
All right. After you say it, Beth, after you say it three times, it's yours. You know, right. The first time right. It's Pastor Chris said it, I once heard, and then it's as I always say.
And now so, it is Josh Turner. Yes, excellent creates comfort.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And so like, you know, you mentioned some of the curriculums. Like I know the Bible App for Kids. There's tons of free curriculum that they can go to Bible App for Kids, download it. And so how have you guys managed to kind of keep the overhead, so to speak, low to create a really good kids ministry that parents want to bring their kids to, and not only that parents want to bring their kids to, but something that kids want to be a part of, because we don't want because we don't want someone listening to being like, oh, well, that's Church of the Highlands, I can't do anything like that because I don't have X, Y, and Z. I've been to a lot of y'all's campuses, and like you said, you do stuff with excellence, but it's not, as I would say, Six Flags over Jesus. And so how
it
have y'all done that?
Definitely not. I always tell people, if they come to Highlands Kids, as far as our facilities, you're going to be underwhelmed. But I think you'll be overwhelmed with the quality of what you'll see. And what I mean by this is, you know, we say excellence creates comfort. And I would say excellence is not necessarily expensive. It is intentional. So one of the philosophies that we have kind of hung our hat on, especially with portable environments, and our deep commitment to make sure that everything is the same at every location. I mean, Josh, down to the piece of candy a child gets at the end, it's identical. And what we have discovered is honestly recapturing the beauty of old school play. And what I mean by that is I love technology. We utilize technology in major ways. I mean, obviously we make cool videos and use that as teaching mechanisms and all those things. But at the same time, we have found great success with, give me a deck of Uno and a leader on a floor sitting with some kids. And I'm telling you, I get more ministry out of that $2 deck of cards than any, art package on a wall or a cool slide. It's as simple as an art table. We're so cheap. We used last week's handout to parents as the art paper for the week before. I'm not kidding. It is things like Legos. It is things like Uno. It is a ball and taping out carpet to make a four square. And when kids, because this is the thing, kids today, they have so much technology and it's always in their hand. And we are just winning big in the simplest of ways, but actually, and I don't know what else to call it. I call it old school play, but I mean, like we're literally, and you know how it is, like when you want to talk to your kids, like with your teenager, you drive with them in the car and they tell you kind of stuff because you're not looking at them like eye to eye. Well, I think with the elementary child and even the preschool child, when you engage their hands and you're playing with them, they will tell you all kinds of things about what's going on in their heart and their life. And we have just seen that mechanism of play is critical. And that's where relationship is happening. I'll tell our team all the time, those 15, 20 minutes when kids are onloading into the service and they're coming into the elementary room, that is some of the most critical ministry time. Because as you're playing, you start asking them questions, they'll tell you all the things that are going on, their fears, their hurt, who they got in a fight with at school. And so we just found, and there's not a church in America that can't do that. It's cheap, but it's intentional.
So one of the things that you said too, and maybe you just kind of alluded to it at the beginning, is you said you found that it's important for parents want their kids to make friends, that there's a lot of loneliness out there.
Yes.
And so, so how have you guys, has it been primarily through the old school? And I know Highlands, man, you guys say that you're not a church with small groups, you're a church of small groups, which I've always really appreciated. Can you talk a little bit about, because I even know, I mean, you know, I've got two kids and one of the things that I've noticed with them, and we go to Passion City Church now, is that they're so plugged into the church, and it's not because you know, David Crowder's leading worship, or, you know, my goodness, Louis Giglio's the preacher, or whoever. The kids are plugged into church, but not because of the lights or the haze or the experience, but because when they show up, man, they have friends there. I mean, I'm driving my kids all over to the stinking city of Atlanta to hang out with their friends that they've met at church. So how do you guys really work as a kids ministry to cultivate those friendships amongst the kids?
Right. So I think kind of alluded to it earlier, when we really shift our elementary model about a year ago, because we started seeing trends. And so just to kind of briefly describe, you know, typical elementary in most of seeker churches in America for the last 15 years has been kind of the same. You come in, you have free play, you might have a game, you'll do praise and worship. There would be a video / live teaching combo or some of both of that and scripture memory. And then you're going to have 15 minutes of small groups at the end. And honestly, that model has served all of our churches very well for a long time. But we began to see this need for that we were really seeing children needing the ability, they need more relational skills. And honestly, just the stuff we were learning in our conversations with One Hope, like, is really devoting 15 minutes at the end of a service to talking and asking questions, the best way to capitalize learning the Bible. So there was that side of it. And then there was the relational side. So really, we flipped everything in our elementary ministry. Now when our kids come in the room, we still have free play and they still get to go do what they want because we think that's important. But as soon as the service starts, instead of large group game being driven by the stage, now games are played in groups. And the groups are competing against one another, or they're building something together. But from the very beginning of the service, the children are put into their groups. So I'm with my 12 first graders or whatever.
Okay. And y'all are doing that by age? Or grade?
Every element by grade, absolutely. Okay. Every element now is done in the group. So group game is in the group. You know, obviously praise and worship, they're going to spread out again. But even scripture memory time, we're facilitating with the group. And the most fascinating thing, and I would love, you know, people to check out the content as we release it, but we stopped making 15-minute teaching videos or delivering 10, 15-minute sermons, because we found is children today, what do they watch? My kids grew up watching iCarly, right? Today's children watch YouTube videos.
It's unbelievable.
They don't watch television or sitcoms. They watch YouTube. And those videos are 3 minutes long, 2 minutes long. And we're like, why are we making content
that's
for an audience that is 15 minutes? Or by the time you do 10 minutes video and a 10-minute sermon, they're so checked out. And so we started making content. Again, so much of this is the result of our conversations with One Hope, and forever thankful for their partnership. But we started making content that sets up a scenario and hooks them where they, you know, they're presented a situation in 2 or 3 minutes, and then they talk with their small group for 5 minutes.
You're just really setting up a big idea on video, but then driving it back to the small group. That's incredible.
Absolutely. And so literally it's 4 minutes of content, 5 minutes of conversation, 3 minutes of content, 5 minutes of conversation. Oh, here's the Bible story. Now let's talk about it conversation. So what used to be hoping they caught it, and then we're going to talk about it in the last 10 minutes when they're checked out and ready for mom and dad to pick up. Now we're literally guiding the children through that whole hour and 10 minutes. And two things are happening. They're expressing themselves and they're building friendships because they're with their peers longer. And two, they're really talking and processing the Bible in ways that are shocking. And it's because I think we created space for them to talk about it. And in those bite-sized chunks has been critical.
So let me ask you this. So one of the things that you and I've been, like we said earlier, we've been in some roundtables together. And one of the things that we're starting to realize with not just kids ministry, but students as well, is that I think we came to the number, or we found out through research, that most kids really only come to church 1.3 times a month. Like, I think that's the average, right, is what we found.
Right.
And so how are you guys, when you have a student or a kid that's only come in 1.3 times a month, how have you guys found, what's the difficultness of being able to really pastor that kid and walk with them? And then what are some of the solutions? Because you, I would say, just from listening to you speak over the past couple of years at these roundtables, like, you're really, I would say, Beth, a thought leader in this of how do we, if a kid is only coming 1.3 times a month, how do we still make sure that they're growing in their faith? So what's the difficulty? Like, how have y'all what challenges have y'all seen with that at Highlands? And then what are some of the solutions, or what are some of the things that you guys are trying to actually, you know, fix those problems?
Absolutely. I think it's something that all of us, you know, in the American church are wrestling with, just the change in church attendance and the trends and all of those things. I think that there's a couple of things that we are, you know, what we do know is that the more engaged children are relationally, and again, this is where I'm going to really push the small group model even more and more, is oftentimes children are determining whether mom and dad come to church or not.
Oh,
so if Johnny is saying, you know, I got to go, mom, I got to go, chances are that parent who wasn't planning on going will come. And we know the best way for that to happen is for Johnny to have a small group leader who is expecting him, who knows him, like that relational equity is there, which again is why we changed our programming to be all about creating as much opportunity as we can for those children to build significant relationships. Because we believe, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be relationship that is going to bring them to the church on a consistent basis. So there's just something that they can't experience. You know, and this is true even honestly with our adult services, you know, that there's something I can watch, you know, Pastor Chris online, but there's something about being in the room.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like Absolutely. There's something about being in the room. And so we're asking ourselves that same question from a kids ministry perspective. What is it for the child that's about being in the room? And we know that it's going to be about relationships, and then obviously, you know, spiritually, those touch encounters from God that we believe a child can experience, they're going to want them to come back. I mean, that's a philosophical answer. Practically, some things that we don't do. You know, I, my parents moved several times when I was growing up. So there were periods in our life that we were not as plugged into church. And I can remember things that I experienced as a child, like showing up to a church and wanting to be able to win the prize, but never able to win the prize because I couldn't control the fact that my parents weren't bringing me regularly. Right. So they're just things that we, you know, we want to make sure if we only have them once a month, is the centrality of Jesus showing up. Like, so if we're teaching an Old Testament story, is the gospel still being presented? Because, you know, if I taught the Bible chronologically, that's awesome for the kid that's there every Sunday. But what about the kid that's only there once a month, right? So those are the things that we've got to wrestle through.
You just leave him with God flooding the earth for an entire month and killing everybody.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, I mean, just making sure that we're, you know, so we're thinking that way as we write our content, you know, making sure that we're bringing that in, because what if they're only here once a month, you know, and we want church to be a safe place for children, you know, body, soul, and spirit. That when I think of church, that it's a place that feels safe to me, that I want to come back. And, you know, we just have to believe we're sowing seeds and creating. It's not going to be pressure. It's not going to be, let me just send you a million postcards in the mail, although all those things have their value.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's going to be the fact that someone knows me and cares about me. I believe that's going to keep these families, you know, turning back. And I don't want to discount either just a supernatural touch from God. I think all of us have to, in this day in church life, content is everywhere. Good teaching is everywhere.
Everywhere.
But there's something about when I come and I'm in the room, the Holy Spirit does something that only the Holy Spirit can do when God gathers his children together to worship. And I don't think we can negate that even for the 8-year-old.
No.
Right?
Like, I agree.
We have to think that way.
So have you, and this is a question, like, this is kind of a, you know, different type of question, but have you noticed how long have you been pastoring kids now?
So I've been on staff 13 years. I've been children's pastor for eight of the 13, or nine, actually nine. Wow.
So have you noticed, like, and I know how this is with students, but I was wondering if it's this way with kids too, because of technology, because of everything that's out there, do you think that kids, even at a young age, or have you noticed them not only wrestling with more adult type topics, but do you also recognize, do they have more adult type questions when it comes to theology because of the things that they have access to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is mind blowing. And, you know, here we are. I mean, I'm in Alabama in the heart of the Bible Belt
you're
South.
You're on the
and
buckle.
Yet,
you're the buckle of the Bible
we are
Belt.
The buckle of the Bible Belt South, right? And yet, we are having questions of gender confusion and, you know, political type questions in the arenas.
How are y'all handling that? Is there, like, a point like where you're like, okay, we need to go to this kid's parents? Because if a kid comes in and starts asking about gender confusion at a very young age, you know, how do you wrestle through that?
Right. I think, you know, we have seen it as young as fourth grade. So some of it, if we've seen an awareness of those types of things in conversation, how much of that is driven by media that they may be watching on television. And then some of it we're seeing already, you know, our own children perhaps dealing with those things as young as like fifth grade. And yes, I mean, for us, we're going to default to relationship. Do we have a relationship with this family? Do we have a relationship with these parents? If they're still in elementary school, we are absolutely involving mom and dad in the conversation and beginning to walk that out. I think another thing that's very important in kids ministry, student ministry as a whole, is just making sure that as a church, we understand who our strategic partners are. And what I mean by that is, you know, who are the Christian psychiatrists, Christian counselors that we are in relationship? Who are the professionals and the experts? Because I understand my job as a pastor, and I understand, you know, who we are, and I also understand the partners that we need to have alongside of us. And I think oftentimes when I talk to churches, you know, there's a whole world of help that's out there. And I think as churches, we need to be more proactive in meeting with those people in our community and establishing those critical relationships, especially when you're dealing with the minds of children and adolescents.
So you would say you guys are really that you're involving the parents. And I think this is important that you realize that you're not a counselor. You're a pastor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a pastor, and we have the biblical counsel, which we believe is obviously the best counsel in the world. But we also understand, you know, just we've taken the time as a team here to understand, you know, I know who, you know, the child and adolescent Christian psychiatrist is in our state who I refer to, you know, and I know the Christian counseling centers that we feel comfortable and we partner with, because we understand when we're dealing with some of these topics, gender issues and different things, or even honestly, levels of trauma and abuse and things like that, that children unfortunately walk through, that we have our part to play. And we also understand that the medical community and, you know, the partners that God has given us are strategic in the whole journey for that family. So yes, it's critical.
I just think it's so important, because I remember, like, I had to come to a place when I was pastoring of realizing, like, there are certain things that I'm really good at handling, and then there are certain things, man, that are way outside of my range of comfort, of influence, of knowledge. And the best thing, I had a counselor that I saw in Orlando, and I told him, I said, the best thing that ever happened to you was that I started a church, because when people would come to me for counseling, I would meet with them one time. And if I felt like I could help them, I'd keep meeting with them. But if it was like past, you know, way above me, I'd be like, here's a counselor's number. I need you to call them and go to them. And because I'm not a counselor. And I think Absolutely. That it's so important for everyone to hear that. That's a kid's pastor, like, pastor the kid. You don't have to be the counselor or the psychiatrist. And God, like.
Well, and honestly, yes. And I think even from a, you know, of course, I think always children's pastors are, you know, you want to be many things, but one of your jobs, anytime you work with students or children, is you also need to make sure the church is not, you know, I have a responsibility, I think all children's pastors, to protect the child and protect the church, right?
Talk about that a little bit. And what does that look like for you with Highlands? Because I mean, and we hate this, and it's the world that we live in, but man, that can be very dangerous for a church and for a family. And if we don't have the right systems in place for those moments, it can be very damaging, not only to the church and not only in the community, but also to a family. So what does that look like for you with Highlands?
Right. I think philosophically, I think that every children's pastor, and I think this is true for student pastors as well, you have to understand the great responsibility that we carry. Sometimes I step back and I think parents trust us with their children. Like, think about that. Like, there's a weight to that, and there should be, right? There should be a weight to that, you know, the most precious thing that God ever allows a human being to steward, the ability to raise one of his children. And these parents are turning these kids over and these students
over. And then on top of that, God's trusting you with them.
Totally. Really?
Which is another terrifying thing.
There's a weight. Yeah. There's a weight. And we need to feel that weight in a healthy way. And I think that for us, you know, I say, you know, it's a twofold responsibility that you protect the child first and foremost in every decision, every policy, every choice. That, you know, is this going to keep children safe in every way, body, soul, and spirit? You know, and then also that we protect the church, realizing that anytime you work with children and youth, the enemy would love to come in and have a foothold and destroy a local church by something happening to a child or a student or ill advice being given or something not being, you know, handled properly. And so we really, you know, for me, I think that I have chosen to be an incessant learner. I'm going to learn the laws. I always say I'm a children's pastor. Then I'm like an insurance, you know, whatever, and a lawyer, right? Like I'm not going to stick my head in the sand and not be aware of all the training and making sure that we refer people to experts, that we're not experts. And, you know, all of those decisions are critical in protecting children and protecting the ministry that God's building, you know, here at Highlands. And I take that responsibility seriously. So making sure our staff are trained, making sure reporting processes in abuse cases, all those things, we can't stick our head in the sand, because, you know, children and students are going through very difficult things and they're coming into our doors, and we've got to know how we respond to those situations to make sure that we're serving those families the best way possible. And it's messy, Josh. It's hard things. You sometimes like, Lord, I don't want to know these things happen.
Not only is it hard, it just breaks your heart in some of the situations where you're like, you know, it's heart wrenching when you hear some of the stories. And, you know, that's why I'm so thankful, honestly. Like, you and I've known each other for a while, but you have been such a voice, you know, in children's ministry, and not just in the practical things, which I want to ask you about here in a second, but just in the leading, pastoring. And what you do a really good job of, Beth, is you're not only pastoring kids, you're pastoring pastors. Like, I watch you at the round tables. That sounded creepy and weird, but you know what I mean? Like, I watch you at the round tables, like interacting and leading pastors. And I know that my kids' pastor, you were super close with in Orlando. And so I love your heart. I love that at the end of the day, you understand. And what I've always recognized in you, you're not just like an organizational leader. You're a pastor first. And I've always appreciated about you. And so I just love that about you. But let me ask you something practical. So two questions. What metrics are you guys looking at on a Sunday for, let's say somebody's starting a kids ministry at their church plant or whatever, and they're like, I don't really even know what to measure. What would you say y'all are looking at for measurement of health?
Yeah, measurement of health. There's a couple of things. We're going to always be studying child to adult ratio. So, you know, like how many adults are attending, and then how many children? What is the percentage of children? So when I say children, I mean, you know, kids 12 and under, which would be our scope. You know, so we would say ideal is a 20% child to adult ratio. Now, if we're planting a campus, or, you know, for those who are in newer churches or church plants, you're not going to be at 20%, and that's okay. But we understand that's the target that we want to grow to. You know, we want to sit at about that 20% child to adult ratio. That's an ideal health in kids ministry. And we have some campuses that skew as high as 30, and some newer campuses, they're going to sit around 13. And it may take a year or 2 years of being, especially those who are listening that are in church plant situations. When you go into a community and people don't know you yet, and you're having church in a school, and there's a lot of things, it's not going to be necessarily overnight hitting those ratios, because you've got to build trust and your presence in the community before people will start checking their children in. But we understand that's a target. And so we're always watching that. We're watching the number of visiting families that come, just like we watch the number of visitors in the main auditorium. We're watching that number. Are new people still visiting? And we're tracking that. We're tracking, honestly, the number we watch the most is the number of people serving on the team.
What's your ratio for leaders to kids?
So in elementary, what we're looking for is, you know, 1 to 10. In the preschool environment, you know, babies like 1 to 2, you know, toddler range, you know, 1 to 5, anywhere from that, depending on the age of the child or the ratios we're looking for. But really, I'm looking for that level of engagement. And that's probably the thing that children's pastors ask me the most about is how do you build great teams in an area that's a high cost serve? Meaning like, you know, when you greet at a door, I love greeters. I think I'd be a great greeter because God gave me big teeth. But I mean, like, but there's that. But when you serve in kids, you're like there 30 minutes early and you're there 30 minutes after and you're in it. You know what I mean? Like it's a high cost serve. And I think one of the things that as children's pastors, we have to work on all the time is making sure that we're telling the right stories and casting a vision for an incredible ministry that if we're not careful, it's not seen enough. Right. And so we are always working on our ability to tell the story of Highlands Kids and to communicate what we do, because, you know, if God's giving us a great team, then everything else takes care of itself. Really, it does. Like if I have dynamic people who are passionate and called, then people want to be a part of that. And, you know, we're going to be good. The other encouragement I'd say about teams is that if God's trusted you with 100 kids, then by nature of who he is, that he is a God of order and he loves those kids more than we do, he has called and gifted the people in your congregation to minister to those kids. We are never desperate. Our only job is to be the most attractional ministry, right? Because all I got to do is attract them. They're there. And when I, you know, the Lord, I felt like he told me years ago when I first started in the kids ministry world that he divinely orders his house. So my job is not to worry about whether we're going to have enough people to open the rooms. My job is to be so attractive that who wouldn't want to serve in Highlands
Kids? That's good. That's good.
Right? Because they're there. And our job is to discover them. So we work on that a lot in kids ministry.
Yeah, I know. Well, last question. So let's say someone, once again, starting a kids ministry, maybe they want to revamp their kids ministry. Where would you say like some of the best resources that you've found that you're using? Obviously Grow Leader, and you can talk about that a little bit, how everything's on that, but what are some other things that you have found that you guys have really, that have really helped y'all in this new season?
Absolutely. I think that one of the first pieces of advice I would give for someone who's rebooting their ministry is to focus first on building a great team. I think a lot of times churches, because people in children's ministry do have a creative bend, a lot of times I can talk to a children's pastor who may really be struggling, and yet I find out they're spending 20, 25 hours a week writing lessons. And I would say that you actually need to reallocate that energy toward developing people. Because there's great content that exists and, you know, God will make space for those creative outlets in different ways. But, you know, for us, we're going to focus on developing leaders, developing team. And then I use resources like Life Church Open or like Hillsong Kids or like the content we make, you know, at growleader.com. We use, if somebody's made it, praise the Lord. I don't want to spend my time making it. I would rather invest in a human being, right?
Absolutely.
And so we really would say the first thing is, you know, step aside from all the work that maybe we're doing to create services, use the great resources that are out there and really focus on developing an experience that kids love and leaders love to serve in. And that's going to be all on the people side of things, because again, there's great content out there. And like you said, a lot of it is free. And so I would press play on Life Church Kids or on the things you find at growleader.com or the Bible app. I would press play and cruise control on content, and I would work on people and developing passionate leaders and learning to cast vision and creating environments that people want to be a part of. And if we focus on that, then God will make space for those other creative things to grow. But we've got to get the people side right first.
Well, Beth, I agree. And I think honestly, like this is one, if you are a kids pastor, this is going to be one of the best interviews for you to listen to. And Beth, I just appreciate it. I love you. We love you at One Hope. And thank you for helping us with what we're trying to do and reaching every kid with God's word. And I just thank you for being, you know, you're just such a great person who loves kids. You're such a great pastor and such a great model for all these new kids pastors that are stepping into ministry. And so thank you so much for you know, taking the time to do this with me and be on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Well, love you and love our One Hope family so much.
Hey, well, I want to thank Beth Cunningham so much for being a part of this podcast with us. Beth, we love you here at Called and Relevant. You're one of my favorite people on the planet. And if you enjoyed that interview, if you're in the children's ministry world, even if you're not and you just want to know, One Hope and Barna actually put out a new research initiative called Guiding Children. And what it is, it's helping parents and pastors across the nation navigate how to raise the next generation in an age of technology. To download free practical resources based on the research findings, visit at onehope.net/called. And I just want to encourage you, listen, if you're a parent, if you're a pastor, and you're looking around at kids, like I'm looking at my kids, and there's a cell phone in their hand every second, and I'm trying to figure out how do I pastor my kid? How do I help my kid in this technology world that we live in? Go to onehope.net/called. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to encourage you to follow us on social media. You can go to Twitter at Called Podcast. You can go on Instagram at Called Podcast, or never forget Facebook. Like my mom, you can go to facebook.com/called podcast. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Relevant Podcast Network.